But the Antichrist is going to provide his own coinage, or the stamp of his own face on it, who opposes, that is, the government of God, and exalts himself above all. See, the word exalts himself above all shows us that he's going to establish his own rulership. He wants to provide himself his own rulership. He wants to make his own rules, and he's going to do that. The lawless one is going to make the laws. Okay, the protester is going to be the leader of all protesters. Okay, you can see this even the movies that come out. Here, this one protester, he protests everything, but then after what they get, what they want, or what they desired, after rebel, then the protesters protest against themselves. Okay, they fight against each other. The infighting. We see this happening in the Middle East right now, that the protesters are uniting to protest, and then when they're uniting against, okay, when the threat's removed, then they go right back protesting each other. The protester protests. That's what they do best. Okay? Satan does the same thing, and his 13 kingdoms. Even his princes protest the protester. Okay, but Satan continually makes promises to them. And of course, they accept the promises that Satan makes. Okay, they accept those things which Satan makes, because certain things might work out to benefit that promise, but it's not by the power of Satan that promises that even came about. Okay, it was by God. So here, he who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called of God, okay, or that is worshipped, okay, that which God has assigned for the purpose of reciprocation, Satan, of course, will abominate. So, or that is worshipped, so that he as God, since the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. See, he establishes his own government, truth, and spirit. Okay, his ministers, the ministers of righteousness, do the same thing. They're establishing their own government, their own truth. Okay, their own truth. Okay, they're working with a different spirit. And that's what Paul brings out in Corinthians. Okay, if one comes among you teaches you about another Jesus, okay, or another gospel, or preaches by another spirit, you easily tolerate, and that you want to affiliate with that. Okay, you easily tolerate and you affiliate with that. Why would you do that? Because it works in rhythm with the imagination. It sounds good because it works in rhythm with the imagination. But in the end, there's schism and protesting again. The protester protests. Again, that's what they do best. But the consenters consent. That's what we do best. Okay, the consenter is one that humbles himself to the record of Christ, okay, and builds with what God provides. So the Antichrist spirit follows this logic to resist Christ, so that he as God, being the counterfeit Messiah, they follow this pattern, the unsanctified things, okay, so that is worshipped, or whatever is honored and resourced for faith to build with, okay, the counterfeit Messiah, they will provide his own tokens. Okay, Satan will provide his own tokens. Now those tokens which he provides, the world must receive, and they will. They will embrace it, the mark, the 666. Now, why would somebody so blatantly take the mark of the beast? Because Satan is going to tell them that the Christians lied, that the Bible is written by Christians, and that the Christians lied, and that the so-called Christians are really the sinners. And he's going to reverse everything. Remember that he's calling the sweet bitter. Okay, that which God sanctified, Satan says, oh, this is bitter. Okay, so Satan says the 666 is what the true believers are going to receive. The false believers receive the so-called other spirit. They spoke in tongues. But see, but mine, okay, has to do with that which profits you. See, I'm going to benefit society. Okay, the tongues benefit society? Of course not. Tongues benefited the soul. It was the engrafting of the spirit that separated us from the world, so that we will not be taken with the issues of the world, but will rather be taken with the issues of heaven. That means how to please God. So the beast is going to use that as an excuse, saying, oh, these believers, these Christians, and these Jews, they lied about me. Satan said the same thing in the seventh heaven. He's still keeping to his testimony down here. He's calling God a liar. So they're saying, well, they only spoke evil of me. See that? They changed the Bible to mean what they wanted to mean. Okay? And so the 666, the whole world would take it joyfully. He says, yes, we believe it. See, look at this guy. He even called fire down from heaven. Well, look at him. He's taking care of the poor people. He's providing us employment. He's giving us free access. Okay, free access to all kinds of utilities. Okay, he's assisting us in our economics. Okay, he's resolving the questions that we had about Stonehenge. Okay. Oh, he's got all the answers. Well, he can even understand these riddles. The Bible is a big riddle. That's what Satan's going to say. Well, the Bible is just a riddle. And he said, let me tell you what the riddle is. Okay. And the riddle, of course, he's going to bring out. It says, well, the Christians are really the lion, but I'm the honey of the lion. See? So they were saying that I was the lion. Okay. No, they're the lion. Okay. I'm the honey of the lion. The 666. Take my mark. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll take that mark. Okay. Now go ahead and go down and take that mark, and that mark, you take that mark is a bartering chip. You can buy or sell whatever you want with that. Okay, of course, with limitation. And not every poor person is going to go out and be able to buy a yacht. Let's go on here. So that is worship. So that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. First thing he is doing is establishing his own stewardship and priesthood in himself. But again, the Lord will shut the lights out. And we see this in chapter 16. Okay, that God is going to put great darkness upon the seed of the beast to show that he is not the light. Because the beast is going to say, I am the light of the world. See, I'm shining in all your little lights. I'm providing some oil for your lamps. My knowledge is the oil for your lamp. So go ahead, put some more of my oil in your lamp so you can keep it lit. So he's going to call himself the light of the world. And then the Lord says, okay, Michael the archangel, go down here and blow his light out and let everybody see who he is. So Michael the archangel comes down here and goes poof, blows his light out, and everybody says, oh, what's going on? We can't see anything. Yeah, that's right, because this is the prince of darkness, not the prince of light. Okay, so he's going to assist in the temple of God and show himself that he is God. That is, he's going to try to replace God's government, truth, and spirit by his own passions and logic. The darkness prejudices the mind to see only from its logic. Remember you not that when I, as the apostle and steward, was yet with you, I told you brethren, these things. This is what I'm doing right now. Okay, the apostle Paul expounded on these things because these are the things which the apostle John shared with him. He shared with Peter, James, and John, and the other apostles. These are the things which he received. And he says that these things are very important for the church to know. Because the first thing God's going to do is restore his people. And we see that in the first chapter of Revelation, the angel of the seven churches of Asia, the first, second, and third chapter there. Okay, now when that's completed, when the church is completed and restored, then the rapture is going to happen. So the people that are dragging their feet, they are only delaying the Lord's coming. Okay, we'll just use that. I'm just going to use that analogy. Okay, even though we cannot delay the Lord's coming, he'll come when he wants to come. But they're the ones that are fighting against the light. So when you embrace the light, then, of course, the Lord will come back. Remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things? That is to reflect upon these things which I preached before. That the natural man, of course, is primitive in his thinking. I told you these things, that the natural man is primitive in his thinking. He is the Antichrist. And he's also instinctive in his behavior. He's primitive in his thinking and instinctive in his behavior. Confirming that they are but beasts. That's right. You're living by your instinct. You're a beast. We live by faith, not by instinct. Now look at verse 6. And now you know what withholds, that he might be revealed in his time. So the Apostle Paul is bringing to her attention the importance of the stewardship. If it wasn't for the stewardship, Satan would overflow the church, and the beast would arise. So you know that what withholds, I mean how God is restraining man's imagination where Satan desires to build his kingdom. So now you know what withholds. So hide the word withhold there. That he might be revealed in this time. And the beast is going to be revealed soon. That he might be revealed in this time. That is to now emerge to begin to build his kingdom. Not God's kingdom, his own. So when the beast comes, sinners will rejoice in him as he is the crown of darkness. Then I'll say that again. When the beast comes, the sinners will rejoice in him as he is the crown of darkness. We rejoice in Christ because Jesus is the crown of light. Okay, not the crown of darkness. Now, this is a mystery of iniquity. See that in verse 7? So highlight the word mystery of iniquity. Now, the reason why it's called a mystery is because something is concealed that you can't see. But truth penetrates the darkness. We know what that mystery of iniquity is. The sinners can't see it because they live within this. It's a corruption daily. The sinners drink of this corruption. They live with the corruption. They talk of the corruption. They're corrupt. That's why their whole manner of life centers on what? Their pleasure. It centers only on themselves. It centers on providing more substance for their own light. Okay, not the light of Jesus Christ, but their own light. That's the mystery of iniquity. Okay, the mystery of iniquity had its origin in Satan And that was when God made known on that day in the seventh heaven, 6,000 years ago, he made that known in the seventh heaven. You were perfect in the day that I made you. Until now, I have found iniquity within you. And of course, God cast him out of heaven. Iniquity manifested itself, which has to do with, what is iniquity? It's the pursuit of the aspiration. It's the pursuit of the aspiration and one that stands to the principle. Well, what is their principle? The principle is their own light. They want to stand to their own light. They'll stand in their own light against the light of God. Okay, as the Pharisees did. The Pharisees stood in their own light, which was darkness. They stood to their principle. Why did they do that? Because they wanted to meet the goal of their own aspiration. They wanted to convert the world to the Pharisees. And the Sadducees wanted to do the same thing. So the protesters were protesting against each other, but they united against Jesus, the true light. So the Pharisees said, hey, our light is rather dim to this Jesus. Why don't you join our torch to your torch to make our torches be brighter? Perhaps then we can overcome this Jesus of Nazareth. So the protesters only united to protest, as we see in the land of Canaan. The seven nations of Canaan united together to fight against Israel. But they were also fighting against themselves. They were actually fighting among themselves. They were constantly fighting for wells, for land, for rivers, and for pastures. They were fighting for all this land all the time for the purpose of trade. Okay, so that whoever had the most would continue to gain a brighter light to themselves, like Og, the king of Bashan. Okay, he gained a reputation, or Sihon, okay, of his own kingdom. Okay, but they were children of the watchers, and they were stealing from the Adamites in order to provide light for themselves. They see our light is powerful, as Pharaoh of Egypt was powerful. And all the kingdoms were measuring their wealth to Pharaoh. Hey, this Pharaoh, he's really wealthy. Okay, this Pharaoh was greatly honored. Well, I want that honor. That's what the senators and the kings would say. I want that honor. So therefore, I need to get me more slaves. I need to get me more treasures. I have to make me greater armies. I have to have a larger navy. Okay, so that I can conquer the weaker people and steal for myself. Okay, so that I can get gold and I can get rubies and diamonds. I can have something to boast with. I can have larger monuments to my stupidity. Okay, I can larger monuments. I can make greater pyramids. Okay, this is what the world wants. And you can see that throughout the whole world today. The world is competing who can have the largest buildings. The world is competing who can have the best armies. Okay, who can have the strongest armies. Who can intimidate his neighbor the best. Okay, and that's what sinners want to do. They want to hoard to intimidate their neighbor. So instead of loving thy neighbor, they want to intimidate their neighbor. Say, see, I got a bigger house. I got more things. Okay, I'm a more important person. Well, that's for the purpose of establishing their light or to intimidate. Okay, and that's what the beast is going to do. And the whole world is going to cave, under that intimidation, because no world will be able to fight against them. Who is able to make war against this man? What army can destroy this man's army? Okay, what kingdom or what president or what chancellor can possibly stand against this man's wisdom, and against his power? Nobody will, because they'll all be in consent of him. They all will rejoice in his light, the false light. We'll go on here. And now you know what withholds that he might be revealed in his time. So I hide the word in his time. Now the mystery of iniquity, we're talking about this now. The mystery of iniquity, that's the spirit that was born in Satan, is now nurtured in the heart of the sinners, even today. So the mystery of iniquity does already work. Okay, this is where it began in Satan's bosom, and it's also carried forth in all his children, the sinners. Okay, that which the principle becomes your God. When the principle is your God, it rules you. Now, when you're cast in the lake of fire, that principle becomes your king. And whatever you did to principle other people, this power will principle you. In other words, you will be punishing yourself. And the guilt will testify against you. The darkness of your conscience will continually testify against you forever in the lake of fire. Whatever you live by now is what's going to rule over you later. Whatever you're living by now, you're living by the knowledge of the world, which works for the principle, for the purpose of the establishing the aspiration. that principle will rule you. Your wickedness will rule over you. So the wicked should be taken in their wickedness, as the scriptures say. And the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now lets, so hide the word he, which of course is about God. God is allowing this time for Satan to craft, for his craft, that is only for this period of time, only for this assigned period. In other words, Jesus, when he comes back, he's going to rule 1,000 years. But Satan is not even going to get a portion of a close enough to be a tithing of that. 3.5 years is what he's going to get. And then he's going to be out. I mean, that's a pretty short time. So Satan, when he's on this earth in a physical form, is only going to have 3.5 years to rejoice in. He ain't the false Messiah. Only he who now lets will let, as we say in verse 7, until that period of time, then he'll be disposed. God will dispose him in the lake of fire. So until he be taken out of the way, we should see in the book of Revelation, in chapter 19, where the beast and the false prophet are taken and cast in the lake of fire. All creation will then see his judgments on the great day, the great white throne judgment. All nations will behold their king, and also see the one that deceived them. And then they're going to see why they can't enter into the kingdom of light, because they never were prepared. They never were engrafted with a true light, because only light can enter light. Darkness can't enter into light. Only light can enter into light. So God says, I cannot allow you into my Father's bosom because there's no light in you. If there's no light in you now, there's going to be no light in you then. You had to be engrafted. Okay, in order to get this, you have to consent to all the terms of my covenant. And that you refused. You wanted to stand to your religious principles or the principle of your own aspiration. For that, the sinners rejoiced with sinners, but the righteous rejoiced with the righteous. Okay, then shall that wicked one be revealed. See the word wicked there. So I like the word wicked, because wickedness has to do with that. Okay, of the principle and aspiration. That's what wickedness is. Wickedness is in the pursuit of the principle and aspiration. The sinners pursue these things. That's why those sinners are called wicked. The ungodly are called wicked. See, the sinners are called ungodly, and the sinners are called wicked. Why are they called ungodly? Because they're fruitless ones. They do not bear any resemblance of God within them. Okay, they walk by the primate. Okay, they're primate believers. Okay, they're living by instinct. Okay, they're not living by faith, they're living by instinct. Even him whose coming is after working of Satan. Okay, well, let's go back to verse 8 here. Then shall that wicked be revealed. That means he'll be fully discerned and manifested at that time whom the Lord shall consume. Consumption, which means Jesus remove all the powers, the tokens, which Satan used to establish his own principle. That means the wisdom that he had, that's gone. Any light he had, that's gone. Any position he had, that's gone. Any subjects he had, that's gone. Any throne he had, he doesn't get any seat anymore. Now, he's going to be too busy trying to keep comfortable to sit down. He's not going to have any time to rest. Okay, where he's going. And same thing with his children. They will not enter into God's rest. Even him who's coming after the working of Satan. These things which Satan labored with, the working of Satan. Satan labored with these things. So he will consume with the brightness of his coming when Jesus comes back. That's where you hide the word brightness there in verse 8. So let me read verse 8 again. Then shall that wicked be revealed whom the Lord shall consume, removing all his powers with the spirit of his mouth. This is what we do. Our charity removes the powers of darkness. Okay? If he does it, we do it. Okay? We're following the steps of our Lord. If he does it, we do it. So whom the Lord shall consume the spirit of his mouth. Well, what comes out of your mouth? Christ comes out of your mouth. Charity comes out of your mouth. Power comes out of your mouth. Okay, these things will destroy this darkness and shall destroy the brightness of his coming. Okay, so our charity brings to ruin all the strongholds of Satan. And we can see that the reason why the Apostle John was running unto the church of Thyatira, because Jezebel established her own ministry. That means she established her ministry in the brightness of her own letter. Okay, so therefore, the Apostle John was writing to her by the Spirit. Therefore, she should be cast into bed, and all her children with her should be cast into bed of her fornication. That means that the knowledge that she was preaching was not beneficial for the building of the house of God. So therefore, we can see that Satan's seat was established within that philosophy or within that ministry. Satan's seat was established there. A Satan's seat has to do with the throne of his authority or perception. That's the working of Satan. With all power, so hide the word power there. Now this is the power which charity removes. as we said in verse 8 there, whom the Lord shall consume, that means remove all his powers with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So the word of God, the word, which is the true light, Jesus Christ, the word, his word, will dim all the false lights. And all the false lights will be dimmed for the purpose of establishing Christ on earth. Christ is established in your heart when the light of your own signature is dimmed by the brightness of Christ's coming. The gift that we receive of him is to dim the boast of man so that Christ will rule. Okay? Christ will be the judge of your conscience, okay, and not your principle. If your principle is your judge, okay, it will be your judge also in the lake of fire. If Christ is your judge, now he also be your judge through eternity, which means he is the one that's the deciding factor of the direction that you take. Okay? Jesus Christ is the judge of our conscience. He's the deciding factor of the direction that we take. Okay, wisdom. Okay, wisdom is profitable to direct. And Jesus himself is the power and wisdom of God. He's profiting in the direction which we take, which is partaking at the altar of Christ. So he calls them in verse 9, lying wonders. A lying wonder has to do with something, the achievements of this world, a lying wonder. Okay, let's look at a lying wonder for a minute. Okay, how about Bill Gates? That's a lying wonder. Why is a lying wonder? Because the achievement was that which is of the power of man, the signature of man. That's a lying wonder, see? Or let's look at Warren Buffett, okay, who has, I think, about $63 billion. That's a lying wonder, okay? So we admire rich people for the brightness of their own light. That's a lying wonder, okay? They have achieved something of a great value. Okay, let's look at another lying wonder. How about somebody that wrote the book of, that's called Harry Potter, okay? A woman that's impoverished now has billions of dollars just because she took the time to write down notes that she put together as a book, a children's book. Okay, a woman that was on welfare is now a billionaire. Okay, that's a lying wonder, see? Because it's something that it's a fulfillment of one signature. How about somebody that wins $400 million? That's a lying wonder. Unlike like the lottery. Okay, a person gets a lottery. A person comes from an impoverished childhood to be president of the United States. That's a lying wonder, see? And so this is what we talk about lying wonders. Whatever is assigned to the signature stands in great admiration of the flesh. A lying wonder. So he says here, signs and lying wonders. Because seducing spirits will use these things to confirm man and make nonsense look logical. They'll make nonsense look logical. A lying wonder. Let's look at another lying wonder. How about people actually believing it came from a monkey? That's a lying wonder, see? A lying wonder. And what's a lying sign? Well, they tried to establish a token as proof. So they got false evidence for the world to admire their idiocy. And they do. They make books. They make volumes of books. They says, hey, let's take these volumes of books and let's teach these to our children. In other words, let's let the light of our stupidity now become the light of the next generation so that they will continue to deny God. Okay, that we can establish atheism as logical and Christianity as stupidity, as folly. And that's what the spirit of the world does, see? By embracing the government of God, you're not going to get any flattery from the world. Jesus said himself, if they have persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. They will not like your company. They will try to diminish the light of your presence. They will try to scold your choices. Okay? And they will mock your faith. That's the spirit of the world. Let's go on here. Lying signs and wonders. Can we talk about that? It says here, with all power, all these spirits that are used to confirm the lies, to confirm his lies to be truth by his witness in the nature of man, all power, signs, and lying wonders. Okay, verse 10 here. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Ooh, getting gets better here, doesn't it? So I like the word deceivable of unrighteousness. Because Satan uses wiles and a double tongue and shifts with the passions to avoid detection. That's deceivable of unrighteousness. He's like a boxer. Hey, a boxer. Okay, he keeps shifting his weight before he makes his punch. Okay, he keeps shifting his weight. He goes from one foot to the other foot. One time he says, oh, it's of God. Next foot, he steps on, he says, oh, I'm not sure. One foot says it's of God. The other foot says, oh, I'm not sure. Okay, that's deceivable of unrighteousness. Now see the word unrighteousness, which means, okay, that which is not God's standard. So where is this unrighteousness? Where is this standard found? It's founded within the iniquity of man. Man's own standard he's using. That's why he's shifting his opinion from one point to another point. Okay, the double-minded will not embrace the kingdom of God. The doubtful, and we see this in the book of Revelation, that the doubtful, the unbelievers, the fornicators, okay, those which, okay, whether it be philosophical or physical, that pursue the things of this world, that means the light of their own signature, they will not enter my kingdom. That's what the Lord said. He swore by himself, nothing less than myself shall enter into me, but only that which is equal to myself, okay, which is my Christ. That's why we receive him by faith. We accept the memorial which God has established within him. The price of him that was valued we embrace. Jesus Christ is a token of our bartering. Whereas by this shekel we return unto the bosom of our Father. Okay, we don't put it within the bag of our covetousness, but we issue forth for the purpose of his brightness. So with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish. So I had the word perish there. So Satan's wiles is as widely and openly embraced by those which have their own scale. The scale, their own signature, is a false scale. Unrighteousness in them that perish. The word perish here has to do with a consumption of death continues within their conscience. A consumption of death continues within their conscience so that it removes any likeness of God within their expression. Okay, of course, likeness of God is expressed through our charity. But any likeness of God is removed from their expression. They have a monkey face. A monkey face. You ever look at a monkey? They look the same, don't they? A monkey face is like, it's like a poker face. Okay, it's absent of any unique expression, okay, of that which is of God. It's absent of any expression which is of God. They're a monkey face. Okay, so therefore, it's right here, in them that perish. So death consumes the likeness of any light of God within them. And that which is of the primitive nature continues to come forth. So they, as Satan comes as a thief to steal, to kill, and destroy, so also do his offspring. Satan's children does the same thing. Well, what's going to happen here? With all deceivableness and righteousness in that perish, because they receive not, what? The love of the truth. Well, where does this come from? Paul says this comes from my stewardship. They receive not the love of the truth. By the unconverted believer, they refused us. And they refused us and this gift that God gave to establish your faith. Okay, so because they refused God's truth, they created their own. Because they received not the love of the truth, they did not want to express this. Their charity was not from the foundation of truth. Why? That they might be saved. How would they be saved? Well, in the refuge of stewardship for the remission of sin. Now, verse 11, for this cause, that means this, because of this act of protesting. This act of protesting, beginning with Satan, fulfilled in his own children, for this act or for this protesting, God shall send them a strong delusion. Oh, you better be careful here. God shall send them a strong delusion, because God will assign to them evil angels and a seducing spirit to seal their false witness as true. This is why we have the many different religions in the world, because they receive not the love of the truth. God gave them a seducing spirit. God will assign you a religion that fits your moral code. He says, I will assign you a religion that will match your aspiration. And you will love it, because I will give you a witness. It will flow within the light of your own signature. You will just glow within the assembly of that aspiration. And people will love you for that glow. For a man will honor you when you choose that which is good for yourself. Remember, the Lord said that. A man will honor you for that to choose for yourself. Okay, and this is a strong delusion, he calls it. Be warned. Hey, be warned. When the world honors your Christ, it's because you embraced the Antichrist. When the world honors your Christ. For this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. They will accept this falsehood as truth.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. And well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with you all. Amen.